Hey guys, it's Jen, the host of Lady HD, a podcast for distractible women. Jen Welch, you know me. Anyways, here with another quick little disclaimer, just at the top of the episode. My audio isn't the way that I want it to be. It's okay though. So what happened is, Sarah and I, my guest, she's amazing, she's so great. She and I recorded an episode of her podcast, then we recorded an episode of my podcast, and I forgot to tell her in between that, she should record an audio track for my podcast. But luckily, thank God, she was able to record all of the audio off of Zoom. But that means that my voice is on her audio track. So I went into GarageBand with both of our tracks and I tried to get them to sync up. They wouldn't sync. You know why? Because one was an M4A and one was an MP3, which are both lossy compressions, which means the various places they just got out of sync. Okay? So then I thought, Jen, you talk a lot in this one. Maybe you can just, like, edit around yourself on her track, okay? I really talk a lot on this one, I'm sorry. But then, so I went into that, and, like, after, like, a half an hour and only being 3 minutes into the podcast, I was like, no, I can't do this. And you know what? My audio on her Zoom track isn't even that bad. It's just, like, me being a perfectionist and me, like, wanting to always, like, But guess what? Sometimes things are just fine, okay? And you just are like, okay, it's fine. Let it out into the world. Nobody's gonna listen to it and be like, why does Jen sound a little bit like she's on the Zoom call, even though it's like a really good sounding audio track? So, it's just that, like, I feel like as the host of my podcast, I should sound, like, amazing, but really it's all about making the guests sound good. So that's why we are just going ahead with her track. You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be great. And then you're going to, like, forget that I even did this whole thing, or you're going to be like, why did Jen even bring that up? Because I wouldn't have even noticed. But you know what? I just need to get it off my chest and say, and this disclaimer is now 2 minutes in. Okay, I'm going to stop now. Enjoy the episode. Bye. Okay, hi, sorry, it's Jen again. This is a disclaimer about the earlier disclaimer. I said that the tracks wouldn't sync because they were two different types of lossy compression. I don't know that that's why they didn't sync. That's just an assumption I made after doing like 3 minutes of internet research. It was hard to find the exact information of what was going on, but that is in my, using my deductive skills, what I think is happening. So if there's an audiophile out there or like an audio tech person who's like, what is she talking about? Just know that like, this is me making an assumption off of the facts that I have. Okay, so let it go. All right. Enjoy the show. Bye. I know. Okay, listen, this is the third disclaimer. It's not a disclaimer about anything. It's not about the first disclaimer. It's not about the second disclaimer. It's just that in comedy, there's the rule of threes. I would feel really incomplete if I just let two disclaimers go out there into the world. And so here's the third disclaimer that is just a disclaimer that I am a nerd. Okay, have fun listening to the show. Bye. Hey Jen, it's you. Think about doing an episode of the podcast that's just all disclaimers building off of other disclaimers.
This is where my theme song should go. Ba ba da ba 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 da ba ba.
Lady HD. Okay, hi everybody. This is Jen Welch, your host of Lady HD, a podcast for distractible women. I am so excited to have today's guest on. She has an amazing podcast that I was also just a guest on, like no big deal. But so go listen to that and then listen to all of them. But she's awesome. She's a lady with ADHD. Let's welcome to the podcast Sarah Snyder Castaneda. Yeah is where like the audience is like woo in my head, because I cannot let go of the fact that I used to host live shows and this is not a live audience. So hi Sarah.
Hello. Hi.
Oh my gosh, you just got like a standing ovation. It's so crazy.
Oh, thank you guys. Oh my gosh, so wonderful.
Amazing. Oh. Amazing. Oh my gosh. I'm very excited to have you here as a fellow lady with an ADHD podcast for ladies. I was aware of your podcast beforehand. I was like, oh no, I'm stepping on territory. But then I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of ladies with ADHD, and we should be represented. There should
be more of us.
Yes. So I'm very excited for this like crossover episode.
And to just have you here and to be, you know, just to be united as a front of, people.
Yes. I love that you bring that up because I think, yeah, as women, I think we're kind of, society has us primed for competition sometimes, but
yes,
I have a motto and I'm not going to get the motto right, but the motto is, if another woman in your space is having success and abundance and doing her thing, that doesn't mean less for you. We all can have the things.
Yes.
It's not a finite supply of stuff.
Isn't that crazy that we're kind of raised to kind of think that? I mean, even in my head, like just being a comedian, typically or historically, really it's only in the past like few years that you'll have more than one lady comic on a lineup or like on an improv team or whatever. Like it's normally like six dudes in flannels and a lady, you know? And so you just kind of get into that mindset of like, well, if she has the slot, then I don't get the slot. But who's determined? There's so many, like there's an infinite number of slots now. There's so many slots. And also I'm saying slots a lot and we're talking about ladies.
I know,
and now I'm thinking about vaginas.
I'm like in my head, like she said slots, like
you just got done doing your podcast that was very like, here's information and here's like whatever. And then I'm like in between, I'm like, we can be explicit on mine, but you don't have to be. And then right in the first 3 minutes, slots. I have a rant about slots. So.
All the slots. Binders of slots. Oh, yeah.
Right. But also just a reminder that a slot doesn't make one a lady, and a lady doesn't always have a slot. So mm-hmm.
That's right.
Awful way to describe intersectionality, but okay.
It's a thought that counts.
It's a thought. It's the intention.
You meant well.
Some people have tabs. Okay. So
dying.
Anyway.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what's going on. How are you? When did you get diagnosed? What's your story? Let's hear it.
Yeah. That's a good start. So, well, it's just, I was diagnosed in my mid 30s. So I'm about to turn 40 in February.
Woo-hoo, and I just turned 40 April.
Awesome. I had a feeling we were the same age. Cause when you were telling me your diagnosis story and the news at the time and the parade and, it's a publication, guys, go listen
Not
to the other.
Can you imagine if we got parades when we were diagnosed?
We don't have parades.
What would an ADHD diagnosis parade look like, even? It would just be like everything at once. Everybody would be walking down the street at the same time, piled on top of each other.
Totally.
Or there'd be nobody, or there'd be nothing. It'd just be like a like car with like a streamer on it with like we meant to do it.
It was stuck in fourth gear and it just couldn't get going. So I always knew I was different, but it just, I just always, the story I got told and the story I told myself was that I was just living with anxiety and depression my entire life, which is accurate.
Which you were.
I was, but that was the end of the narrative. And so, and I had a lot of jobs where it actually worked for me. And you might experience this as well as a comic. I was a journalist initially, so it wasn't sticking out like a sore thumb because journalism was so compatible with my brain.
Yes.
And I did struggle in college. I skated by in high school, and then college, it was like scholastic probation immediately. Had to learn how to study because I never learned how. Never learned how. And then I was fine for a while because I was a journalist, but then I ended up switching fields because newspapers were not doing so well. And I switched fields. Yeah. And I had a corporate job. It was my one and only corporate job. And that's where I found out. I couldn't just get it together. And I didn't even know what together was. And I didn't know who these people were who had it together and what they wanted from me. And it was a very scary, traumatic thing.
Yeah.
And I had already been seeing a psychiatrist for depression and anxiety, go figure. And eventually she just like, I guess it just clicked, because, you know, the workplace problems kept coming up in the appointments. And I kept leaving my keys in the waiting room at every appointment. I guess she just kind of did the math and was like, have you ever been, you know, tested for ADHD? And I mean, when I say I had no idea, like, I mean completely off the radar. When they were talking about ADHD in the 90s, I just assumed it was a boy thing. And they did the Ritalin and the boys and the Ritalin. And it just was like, okay, doesn't pertain to me. Drive on. So when she brought this up, I was like, what are you even talking about? But I went and got analyzed and tested by a specialist who had this computer test, and I had to push buttons and all that. And the questions he was asking me, you know, just like my stimulant use. Like, I mean, I was just like drinking so much Red Bull just to get through the day and smoking so many cigarettes and just to get through the day, just to function. And there is like research out there. Like, I think for women and girls, I think after the second cigarette, you can get like addicted, you know? Don't quote me on that, but go ahead.
Well, I will say that as a lady with ADHD who stopped smoking 14, 16 years ago, I was a pack a day smoker from my first cigarette, immediately.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, off to the races. There was no like, I'm going to try one. It was like, oh, this is it. This is in my mouth now all the time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I feel like if we had been at the same school, we would have known each other in the courtyard. We'd be like smoking next to each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, smoking.
Where did you go to school?
UT Austin. So University of Texas.
We weren't at the same school. Yeah.
Yeah. We were at opposite ends of the earth, but
I was at Syracuse, but anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
It's fine. It's fine. So he was asking me all these things, and he actually said, have you ever tried Adderall? And I was very honest with him. To a fault, I don't know why I thought, you know, but it worked in my favor. But I did tell him, a friend, gave me some a couple times, and it really did help me. And he's like, well, that's really useful information to me, actually. The fact that the medicine was helping you, it was helping him inform his diagnosis. And so just being myself, which we had talked about earlier, I was completely myself with him. And I was like, yeah, I slam Red Bulls. I have substance abuse issues. I was a compulsive binge drinker for probably a decade, I think. So I had all this, and I was very, very transparent about the whole thing. In fact, the psychiatrist that I had, I actually like had to find her, because my other one was just, I was myself and he wasn't cool with it. And it was like a whole thing, you know, but so it was good. It was good. I listened to my gut. I found a doctor who was compatible with me, and I was my authentic self, and I got my diagnosis. And so, in my 35-year-old mind, I think I was 35. Suddenly, now that I had the awareness, suddenly I was functioning at work and I wasn't a loser anymore. I'm using air quotes. And all of a sudden I had the approval of people at work. And within a year I had found another company, because I just couldn't get over the trauma. I found a small startup and just started over. And in my 35-year-old mind, I was like, that's it. I whipped it. I'm done. Problem solved.
Yeah.
And so while it helped a lot to know, and the awareness was a huge piece, I now know that, it's going to be a lifelong struggle. I mean, it just doesn't go away, you know?
Yeah, no. And that does take time to sort of like wrap your head around. And I think that for me, I was very similar in that whole sort of thing where it's like, oh, got my diagnosis, problem solved, you know, like, okay, we figured out that Vyvanse works best for me. Great. Doing it, you know? And it's like, you mentioned the word trauma, and there is, it's a word that carries a lot of weight for me as somebody who's like a survivor of things and also a recovering alcoholic and a person with a neurodivergent person, because we do toss it around a lot, but at the same time, there are a lot of things that are traumatic that I feel like people don't acknowledge. And living going through life as a undiagnosed neurodivergent person is traumatic, because you don't understand why you're not fitting in, or why you can't get someplace at 9 a.m. at the same time every day and just do the work. Everybody else just sits there and does the work. And it's like, why can't I just do the work? What's wrong with me? You know, or like, why, you know, right? That you understood that sentence. Okay. So totally, it's like, yeah. You know, and even, you know, being a binge drinker, or being a, like, you know, having this sort of thing that you don't really have any sort of understanding or control over as to like why you're doing it, or like why you're self-medicating. It's traumatic, and it leads you into situations that are traumatic. There are situations that happen that are never your fault, but also at times, you know, like, being in, you know, I lived in LA in my early 20s, and being in LA, being an alcoholic who had money for cigarettes or food and then choosing cigarettes, that's like a traumatic experience, you know. It's not, yes, the biggest trauma of my life, but it's something that, like, I think that, like, we get our diagnosis, we get our medication, and we're like, problem solved. But there's a lot of, like, emotional stuff that we've carried, especially people who are, like, undiagnosed into adulthood, that I honestly didn't even realize how much some of this stuff affected me until I started doing this podcast, because I had never just had these conversations with other women with ADHD, which I think I've said on other episodes before, but we all have ADHD, so I'm saying it again. So I think that, like, just being able to talk about, I mean, we mentioned it a little bit on your podcast, but the whole period thing. And I talked about this on an earlier podcast with Mae Wilkerson, where it's like that navigating middle school as an undiagnosed girl with ADHD who is now on a 28-day schedule of getting your period, having to remember to change your pads and your tampons, like having to remember, like, all of the stuff that goes along with that. And like, I had so much shame during that part of my life, because it was like, I was just constantly ruining pants.
Right. Like, yeah.
Always. Like, I ruined so many pairs of pants. And I'm like, is everybody else having this issue? What's going on?
Yeah. And it's crazy, because I actually I talked to my previous guest about this, is, we were talking about how, your estrogen completely tanks, like, right, mm-hmm, in the days leading up to your period, and estrogen helps us take in dopamine. And so ADHD, you know, it's, I'm not a medical expert, by the way, but from my understanding, ADHD, is related to low dopamine levels. And so, long story, mm-hmm, short, there is, a connection between, estrogen and your period. And so, can you imagine, not only are you undiagnosed, as a girl going through puberty, not only is that going on, not only are you ruining your pants, but you're having all this fucking turmoil emotionally,
yeah,
and cognitively, and all this bullshit going on, and you have no idea that your estrogen's playing a part.
And yeah, you have nobody talks about that.
Nobody.
No.
Yeah.
I just recently, like, literally last week, I read an article, or I read something on, like, an ADHD subreddit, somewhere I read something about the low dopamine levels, and how basically that means we wake up in the morning and we are already behind in terms of the normal amount of dopamine a person has. And that blew my mind, because the mornings for me are one of the every morning's a nightmare. In a different way, every morning's a nightmare. I never want to get out of bed. I could just lay there for a day. I can, you know, my entire life, mornings have just been like this thing. Like, it caused so much, like, drama in my family, you know, me every morning. People would be late to school, like yelling and all this stuff. And and it's like, oh, I'm literally starting the day at a deficit.
Yep.
So, of course. And so, just being able to have that understanding, just the past few mornings, I, like, wake up now and I'm like, this is why we feel this way. And just that knowledge is like enough to kind of get me out of that spiral of like, I'm a loser who can't get up out of the bed in the morning and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, no, I just don't have any dopamine, like whatever. So get up and get some.
Yep. That's really all it is. And I wrote a blog recently about just a whole life of what could have been different if I knew the relationship and if I knew I had ADHD, but also if I knew what the relationship was with my period and ADHD. And now that I'm almost 40, I'm starting to think about perimenopause and menopause, and I have a 4-year-old. So just all these things, like if I had known. And so that has caused me to refocus my podcast to these female issues, because I think my last guest, she was talking about how I think a lot of what we can do to help is just talk about it. And you said so yourself, talking about it is so helpful. And I think it's so hard when we were from a time where you couldn't talk about your period. So you can't even talk about your period. How in the hell are we supposed to take care of ourselves? You know?
Right. Yeah. I know. It's like, I mean, I feel like my mother's generation is like, I feel like she's in that generation of women where it's like, the feminist movement is happening, but there's also still a foot in the door of the old way of doing things, right? Yeah. Like they're kind of like straddling that whole thing where it's like, she's going to throw me a period party when I get my period, which by the way, I did have a cake. Wow. But we are never going to talk about like it in any sort of like way that is, you know, helpful or like gets in depth or talk about feminist issues around it or like whatever, because there's just certain things that like, it's hard to, when you're so in a, like when you're still so much indoctrinated like a systemic sort of way of thinking, it's hard to recognize how much opportunity there is outside of it to change things, right? Because you're just so in the system. And I feel like, okay, I'm on it, I'm on a rant, I'm sorry, you're my guest, I'm talking,
I'm loving the rant, I'm like, okay, in, I'm right, I'm zoned, right, in, yeah.
Okay, what keep was going the rant about systemic, I feel like, yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's one of the huge things that's coming out of the pandemic and the lockdown and everything right now, yes, is like this whole like neurotypical people having to change the sort of neurotypical benefiting system, right? Yes. Like, so it's like, how do we like, and as a person with ADHD, it's like, oh, I get to work from home every day now? Okay, yes, please, you know,
yeah, totally.
And like, do I miss certain things about being at work? Yes. Am I even working right now? No. But like, you know, but when I have been working during this, it's like, this is my dream situation. I get up, I go to work. I don't have to worry about all of the commute and the getting ready and all the timing that goes along with that. And I already start my day at a freaking like in a tizzy because I've had to deal with all this crap. And like, so there's like that aspect, also the aspect of like having to sort of like go with the flow, right? And like let go of your like regimented schedule and let go of like, you know, well, this is how you do things. It's like, maybe it's not how you do things. Why is it how you do things? Like having to question that stuff. I feel like there's a big thing. So there's a big thing, obviously, with, you know, we should be having, sorry, I'm about to get political now too. Hi.
Get it. Cause so, it's been in my head the whole time. Get it, girl.
Here we go.
So
we should be paying people to stay home right now, especially through the winter with flu season coming on top of COVID stuff. And it being indoor time in general, we should be paying people to stay at home. That being said, we have this sort of mentality of like, well, what are we supposed to do if we're not working? And that, I think, is a huge indicator of how sort of the fucked American life has become, that so many people in our population cannot even imagine what they would do if they weren't going to work every day. It's like, as an ADHD person, I'm living my best life over here. Like, I have 15 art projects around me that are half finished. I like am studying all these new things. I am like doing this and that. Like I can just follow my little stupid brain wherever it wants to go. And it's like amazing. And that's like one of the benefits that I have right now of being sort of a neurodivergent person, that I'm not just like, and I'm not saying all whatever, just bear with me, and I'm using generalizations and I'm aware of that. Okay. But how messed up is it that we can't even think about what we would do if we weren't working, especially even when you're being paid to stay home, right? Which we should be. And by the way, I promised a friend I would give an angry rant about the fact that if you are going out to eat at restaurants right now, first of all, why? Second of all, wear your mask when you're talking to your server, please. Okay?
Because yes.
My friend, oh my God. My friend Isabel has to deal with you, and I don't want her to die. So anyways.
It's a very small request.
How are you doing?
I'm just back here like, yes, girl, yes, girl, yes, girl. Like, I co-sign to all of that.
Okay. Any thoughts on it?
Well, it's mixed feelings, right? Because we're in a crisis, like a crisis of proportions we've never seen. And at the same time, people like you and me are having a renaissance. Like, it's confusing emotionally.
It's really confusing. And also I think there is something too to the fact that like, oh, this is a novel situation, right? So that for me is like, great. All right. Like, not great. I don't want people to die. I don't want to be in this situation. At the same time, my brain, like, this is what I thrive in. I kind of thrive in chaos. Like, I'm the friend when you call when your house gets robbed or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the one, like, that's when the gears really work, right? That's like spraying oil in my brain gears. So this lately for me has been this nice weird combo of like going with the flow, doing all the things I want to do, and also like boom, 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 you know? So you know what I mean. I'm going to stop talking now. Please talk, please.
No, I mean, I think that covers it. And I think, you know, going back to the systemic struggles, you know, that also is something that has been, you know, put in plain view, is just how much of the way our world works. And, you know, how much of it is, I'm going to butcher the explanation, but just how much of it is so fucked is, I mean, I can't even explain it, but it, you know, the, just like not, like the health system, the justice system, all of it. It's just all so fucked. And I mean, we've always known it. I've always known it, but just, it's just like magnified right now, where you can see it under a magnifying glass, and you can point out all the little ovals and dots and hairs. And we're all getting very intimate with the idea that things are fucked, you know?
Right?
And it's just like crazy.
I don't know if you relate to this, but you were a journalist for a while, so maybe you do relate to this, but I feel like one of my biggest ADHD traits, or just traits as a person, I don't know what it's related to, but it's the but why reaction, right? When somebody says like, we need to do this way, my first reaction is always like, but why, right? Especially when it's something that's like a really like inefficient way of doing something, or not fair, or like, you know, just sort of like causing you know, one thing to be okay and one thing to not be okay, or whatever, you know what I mean? Even like the whole idea of having to be at work every day at 9 a.m. It's like, but why, you know, why is 9 a.m. the time that everything needs to start? I accidentally got myself on the worst sleep schedule right now. I'm falling asleep at 5 a.m. and waking up at like noon. And then I'm really stressed out about it. But then this little voice in my head is like, but why? Why are we stressed about it? We're not doing anything. There's no reason to not be on this sleep schedule. What if we just embrace it? And that's how we are now for a little while, you know? And it's like this whole thing of like, but why is a thing that's not asked a lot, I feel like, especially of like the systems that we live in and everything, where it's like, take the ball.
Yeah. There was a class I took. It was an introductory course that we took to train, and it was called Critical Thinking for Journalists. And I don't think they teach critical thinking in schools, at least where I went to school, they don't.
No. Because
they want you to buy into the myth, the legend, the story we're all telling ourselves. You know, if you start thinking for yourself, what's going to happen?
Yeah. I used to write, so one of my brief stints for like 8 years, I was a, I wrote for trade magazines about educational technology, and I learned doing that, that like our whole educational system is built off of the industrial model. They wanted to like, they wanted to prepare children to work on an assembly line, right? So it's all about rote memorization, taking orders, doing things, staying in one place, like not moving around, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh my God, like that, first of all, that's awful. Like we're basically like programming children to be little like factory robots.
Little cogs,
and second of all, like we don't fit into that, you know? And like, I have a really hard time working not for myself, because when I get into an organization, I just generally navigate towards things that I see that can be done better, right? And by done better, I don't mean right. I mean, my brain sees a way to do it that's like not the way it's being done.
Right,
And so I end up like taking on projects that nobody asked me to take on or something. And I'm like, but I do this now. And they're like, but your work isn't getting done. I'm your IT person now. Didn't you know that?
Right.
So you know, people don't like that, but it's probably not really socially acceptable to just make your own job wherever you go. But it's like I do have a hard time just doing the thing that I was asked to do.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're trying to, I mean, in my experience, I'm trying to optimize it. I'm trying to make it better. I'm trying to do it faster and better than what you told me to. I know something you don't know. And, you know, absolutely. And then I also learned in a class.
I'm going to correct one thing, right? Because when we say like, well, I know something you don't know, we're kind of making fun of ourselves. Like, oh, how dare we think that? But really what it is it's like, we see a path that you don't see.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's very different than being like, I assume I know more than you. It's like, actually, we could go this way. And one of the big sort of like processing moments I had, like after doing like the first one or two episode like interviews for this podcast, was I had a dream. I have really on the nose, literal, like processing by subconscious type dreams all the time. Yeah. It's awful and exhausting. But like I had this dream where the whole dream was me being in these sort of like nightmare work situations that normally would be like awful for me, but then seeing some like other path.
Yes.
And like literally walking, well, what, look at, we can go this way. And then everybody being like, whoa. And like, instead of being stuck and like being stuck out, like not being able to get to the boat that's going away or something, I'm like, look, we can just go here. And everybody's like, you're a hero, you know? So it's like, oh, I actually can embrace this part of myself that I see these paths. But also I need to do my job. how do you reconcile those two things?
I think you're right, because it's like we're perceived as that, well, they think they know, you know. But what I think in my case, I see the path, but I can't articulate it quick enough because my brain's going so fast, and I couldn't possibly expect them to understand. And so, you know, sometimes I'll get into things where it's like, I get that corporate job where it's like, well, this is my specialty. You designated me as a specialist. Why do I have to explain every step of the way? Management doesn't like that. They want to know the path. They want to know. It's like that math problem. Show me how you did the math. I want to see. They don't care that you've solved the math problem. They want to know how you did the math. Which, by the way, I'm terrible at math. I suck at math, by the way.
I was really good at math. And I remember going up to my fifth grade teacher and being like, listen, I can do this all in my head. So just let me do it in my head. And I'm not going to write this down. And he was like, okay. I think he was so sick of me at that point.
Yeah.
That he was like,
if you
whatever.
Can do it. Yeah.
But and it's like, how do you get people to buy into what you are seeing? Like, that is one of the things that I've learned, just like as a person who like creates things and produces stuff, is like, I just need to do it. I just need to make it and do it and then let them see
yes
what it is, you know. But then it's like finding time and like whatever to do that. So it's hard to do in a corporate work setting, and especially when people don't, I feel like if people understood ADHD more, they would see what they're about to get. The bang for their buck that they're about to get is like astronomical, right? So it's like, let the ADD person just try out this crazy weird idea they have. Maybe it's not going to work, or maybe it's going to like revolutionize the way you do everything at your company, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah. Let them go. And it's the same way, like, you know, people on the spectrum, it's like they have their strengths, they have their weaknesses, let them do their strengths, right? And so what does the world look like if we are just allowed to live in our strengths?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And I feel like this is one of those times in our history that that's what we're doing right now. We're living in our strengths right now.
Yeah.
And it's
in our strengths. We only needed a pandemic.
That's what it took, guys. That's what it took. It took what it took, but we're here now. Yay.
Here we are.
Yeah.
The golden age of attention deficit disorder. There's a lot of talk about this in the community or whatever, but like, I do not have a deficit of attention. I have like way too much attention. I have attention like coming out my ears. I have like, I am paying attention to so many freaking things at any given moment that it's like exhausting. So let's also think about like what we're calling this. That's
attention budgeting disorder.
Attention budgeting disorder, attention surplus, attention. I don't know what it is. Yeah. Budgeting, what even is that? Oh my God. I feel like we have covered so much here.
We really have. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I got off on Rantville.
That's okay.
Express train. Sarah.
Yes.
Where can people listen to your amazing podcast?
Oh, thank you. And of course I go blank and totally ADHD fashion, because you asked me something I really know a lot about, but I'm on the spot. And it's called the Adulting with ADHD podcast, and it's on where you can find any podcast. Wherever you listen to your podcast, you should be able to find it. And my website is adultingwithadhd.com. And I'm on the socials, mostly on Twitter, and I'm going to find you as soon as we get done here. But my handle is ADHD Adulting, and that's my handle on Instagram and Facebook as well. I think that's
nice.
Nice. Yeah.
Amazing. And you can, make sure that you, I know that we are all very distractible, but it really helps the podcast if you throw some little 5-star ratings on there, if you can do that on your podcast app, or like toss me a review or whatever, because, you know, you just love me so much, obviously. Share with your friends, you know, because it makes me happy to get some positive feedback. That's vulnerable to say. So anyways, but you can subscribe to the podcast. Lady HD Pod I'm honestly just rambling right now. I lost the thread. I lost it. Okay. Follow Lady HD Pod on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, maybe Twitch soon. Who knows? And then follow me, Jen Welch, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. It's Jen Welch now, JennWelch now. And hey, we're all doing great. Are you doing great, Sarah?
I'm doing great. Yep.
Yeah, we're doing great. Yep. Amazing. We're great. Yay. Bye.
Bye.
Hyperactive.